Nice to see you all. We're turning to Exodus, and it's the chapter 4, and we're reading a few verses that we actually have read before, but of course that will do us no harm to read them again. Exodus chapter 4, and we read from verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, that is, in under your jacket, as it were. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow, white as snow with leprosy. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter. Amen. We will end our reading there. Now, in our recent studies, we've been looking at the commission that God gave to Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And in that, of course, you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And you have the image of the Savior as the shepherd. He said himself, I am the good shepherd, and he leads his flock. So you can see that in this work that Moses is called to, a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. We consider also how that here God gives two signs to Moses that will help him prove to the children of Israel that he really has been sent by God. Of course, there were many other signs followed. You remember the plagues, all of which indicated very, very clearly, not only to the children of Israel, but to Pharaoh as well, that this man, Moses, was God's man. And in like fashion, the Lord Jesus has been wonderfully anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and during his ministry he wrought innumerable miracles. We know the miracles that accompanied the life of Moses, but the number of the miracles found in Moses' life does not compare at all to the number of miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ worked. I can't emphasize this enough for you. John put it like this. He said, of all the deeds that the Savior had done were written down. He says the world couldn't contain the books that would thus be written. What a record there would be if all the deeds wrought by the Savior were written down and recorded. But we have a record of some of the deeds that he did in order to show to us that he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. So both Moses and the Lord Jesus had signs accompanying them to prove that they were God's servant. Now, as I was about to move on to, well, we're coming to the end of the study of Moses, but as I was about to move on, it suddenly occurred to me that maybe some of you might ask the question, how do we know if a man is sent from God today? Because there are no miracles today. There's no changing of the rod into a serpent today. There's no putting of the hand into the bosom and pulling it out and it's leprous today. There's none of the wonderful signs that accompanied the Lord Jesus Christ and proved that he was sent of God today. There's none of the miracles even that accompanied the apostles today. So how do we know if a man who stands up and says, I'm sent of God, is really sent of God? I think you've got to bear in mind something. When Moses came before the people and said, God has sent me, there was no written word. There was no Bible then. The beginnings of the Bible came afterwards, when Moses began to write under God's inspiration. But there was no Bible then. When the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles were engaged in their ministry, there was a new development taking place. God was sending his message out, not just to Israel, which had been the case during the Old Testament time, but now it has gone out into all the world. This was a new development. And the signs that were evident in the life of the Lord Jesus, and then into the life of the apostles, were to show and to prove that this new development, this sending of the gospel into all the world, was of God. But today, there's no new development. What took place in the days of the apostles and the evangelizing of all the nations of the earth has been going on, and it continues today. We had a wonderful meeting on Monday evening when we heard about the Trinitarian Bible Society and its works involving the translation of the scriptures into many, many languages. That's still going on. The people still haven't got a Bible. And it was thrilling to hear of how God is providing. You see, today we have a Bible. There's no changes, no additions taking place. We have a Bible. And the means by which we prove whether a man is really sent of God is very simple. We don't look for miracles to be wrought by him. In fact, if he works miracles, so-called, you can be sure he's not God's man. No, the method that we employ is very simply this. It's given for us, actually, way back in the book of Isaiah and the chapter 8, because the method that we use to find out if a man is really God's man is based on a principle that always was the means. Look at chapter 8 of Isaiah and the verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, in the Old Testament times, if a man came and said, oh, I'm a prophet sent of God, you could test him. Did he speak in accordance with the word that God had already given to his people? If he didn't, he wasn't sent by God. And that's the rule still for today. That's how we gauge whether a man is a man of God or not. Not his personality. Oh, a lot of people do go by that, you know. Oh, isn't he a wonderfully pleasant chap? He's so friendly. He speaks to everybody. He's such a wonderful smile. Oh, he's a lovely man. He must be God's man. No, he doesn't have to be God's man because of these things. There's nobody can smile more sweetly than the devil. There's nobody can be more pleasant than the devil. So that's not the method. The method is, what does he say? What does he preach? Does he say that which is in keeping, in step with, in accordance with the word of God? The word of God. You know, that makes it clear that we have a duty to know our Bible. Because if we don't know our Bible, then when somebody comes along and is preaching something that's not in the Bible, we won't know the difference. I don't know if any of you have ever been abroad, and as you've been entering into a foreign country, you have to go through their passport control. And they take the passport off you, and they look at you. Then they look at the photograph, and they turn over the page, and they look at you. There's an examination going on. They're testing to see if you really are the person that this passport belongs to. They're looking to see that this passport is genuine and not a forgery. And there are things in the passport they know to look at. There are things in the passport that forgers find it very difficult to copy. So they know where to look. You wouldn't know where to look, because you're not taught in this manner. But they are taught, and they know where to look. Well, same with you and I. When someone comes, as it were, with a passport saying, oh, God has sent me, we need to know where to look to find out if they're genuine. And, of course, where we look is in the Word of God. We compare what they're preaching with what's in the Word of God. And as Isaiah says, if they speak not according to this word. Doesn't say if we look at how they act or how they look, but if they speak not. It's what they say is all important. It's by a man's word that you measure whether or not he's a man of God. You can see this put into practice in the New Testament days. This simple principle, if you turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, and the Apostle Paul is, like the other apostles, going around preaching the word of God. He's entered into Europe. He's in that territory that we know as Greece, and he's going about preaching the word of God. Now, in chapter 17 and the verse 11, well, let's read from verse 10, because Paul has been chased out of Thessalonica. Opponents of the gospel have, well, they've really threatened his life, and those who have been recently converted insist that he leave, lest he be killed. They thought that would be a terrible thing, and of course it would have been. So in order to safeguard his life, they say, please, Paul, leave, leave. So Paul does. Verse 10, and when the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, I have to stop and just say how much I admire Paul and Silas. They have just really been attacked most brutally and their lives threatened most viciously, and they've been through an awful experience in Thessalonica. I have a feeling today what would happen is, Paul, I think we should have a bit of a holiday. That was a bit of an experience, you know, and I don't feel at all well. My nerves are all shattered. Maybe we should go home. I'm telling you, that's what would happen today. Well, these men were made of sterner stuff. And when they come to the neighboring town of Berea, they go straight into the Jewish synagogue to continue the work of evangelism. Doesn't matter what happened in Thessalonica. We're not going to be put off. We're going to continue, they were saying. So they go in among the Jews there in the synagogue and they begin to preach the gospel. Now it says in verse 11 of Acts chapter 17, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. You see, they were acting in accordance with Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse 20. They received Paul and Silas with courtesy, but they didn't just say, oh, whatever they say, we'll believe. No, no. They said, let's compare what they say with the scriptures. And they listened to Paul and they compared the scriptures. And of course, oh, boys and girls, it had been a lovely thing to hear Paul preach. There would have been no one so masterful in turning to the Old Testament, the way I have been trying to do in our studies, and show you where in the Old Testament you have pictures of Christ. Well, Paul, oh, how he could have done that. And he would have turned them to the Old Testament and said, look, this is what God said would take place. Here's how the message of the gospel would go out to the Gentiles and into all the world. And he would have set out the Old Testament teaching and they would have been listening and looking, examining. And they would have come to the conclusion, you know, he's right. What he's saying is in complete accord with the Old Testament. This is a man of God. These, Paul and Silas, they are men of God. Boys and girls, that's how we today gauge a man. That's how we tell a man. And let me tell you, though, as it were, Christianity is now organized into churches and congregations, and there's ministers, and there's presbyteries, and assemblies, and all the rest of it, and everything's all very organized now. You still need to check. It's still your duty to examine. Because though things are more highly organized, that doesn't mean the devil has stopped attacking. In fact, with all the organizing that has taken place, the devil has far more opportunity to deceive and infiltrate. Today, the country's full of big stores, aren't they? You know, in my day, I was born just outside Listenskee, and you came in to Listenskee, and for your groceries, you went to the one shop that was there. For the hardware, you went to the one shop. For your shoes, you went to the one shop that dealt with shoes. You didn't say, well, now, will I go to Tesco, or will I go to Asda, or will I go to Nike, or will I... And you're lost for choice. But of course, when you have all these shopping centres, you have all the more opportunity for thieves and robbers and cheats to ply their trade. And I tell you, just because today you have denomination after denomination and congregation here and congregation there and churches everywhere, that doesn't mean that things are safer. No! In actual fact, it means the door is even wider open for the devil to deceive. And you and I need to know, how do we know if a man is really sent of God? We act like the Bereans. We search the scriptures. We compare what they're saying to the word of God. If you turn to one more verse, and we'll conclude then today, it's 2 John. 2 John, that's way over toward the end of the New Testament, the second book of John, just one chapter, in the verse 10, and John is here giving instructions as to how the people should react to and safeguard themselves from being deceived. Verse 10, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So there was instruction. There was instruction. If somebody comes and they begin to tell you something that is not in the scriptures, don't let them into your house. Don't let them into your house. Don't assist them or help them in any way. We often get warnings from the police saying that there are thieves operating in certain areas and they're pretending to be electricity inspectors. And they'll come to your door and they say, I'm from the electricity board. Police will say, you make sure you check their credentials, that they show you the proper identification. Otherwise, don't let them in. Don't let them in. Well, John's saying something similar. If any come unto you, and they bring not this doctrine, for this doctrine in the Bible is the identification of the man of God. That's what he will be carrying, and only that. And if someone comes and they're not carrying this doctrine, then they're not of God. They're not of God. So, we don't have miracles like Moses, like the Lord Jesus, like the apostle. But we do have a sure means of telling who is and who isn't a man of God. It's what they preach. It must be in accordance with this word. May the Lord make you all ever watchful and very conscious of this truth. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Take our thanks, Lord, for your word. Oh God, help us to love it, help us to cherish it, help us to study it, help us to know it. Remember how it was with Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. May the boys and girls here not be content with just what they hear in the assembly or in the Sunday school or in the services, but Lord, may they go aside each day with their Bible and read and learn. Bless the school today. Meet its every need, and the needs of each one that's here. Those that need a healing touch, have mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.